This is episode 528 on the Hidden Wire podcast with Warren Davies.
Welcome to the Hidden Wire's 30-minute power segment. I am passionate about creating a lifestyle that minimizes suffering and regret. The purpose of life is not simply to survive, but to thrive, and I believe we do that by creating a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Each week, I will be delivering a 30-minute conversation with a guest expert on a topic that they are knowledgeable and passionate about, with the purpose to inspire and educate us all. I don't have all the answers. I'm simply trying to figure life out. And through greater awareness and understanding, I can put into practice what I learn to further my life's progression. I can't give you your life's map. I can't show you the way, but I can assist you in discovering your why. I can help you define your life's compass to guide you purposefully to act on and pursue your life's desires. And from there, watch happiness ensue. My guests are the experts. They are the people I learn from. They provide the inspiration, education, and methodology that we can all benefit from in better navigating the ultimate life. Without further ado, let the show begin. Today's featured guest is Warren Davies. The topic is resilience. Resilience, persistence, and determination are the words to describe Warren Davies. Born and bred in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, Warren was the son of a small business owner. A leader throughout his primary school years, this confidence was eroded once entering secondary school, where he was subjected to bullying and not fitting in. His academic achievement began to downward spiral. This is where his skill of resilience was developed, a skill that would be called upon time and time again in the future years. This is Warren Davies. He's got a lot to share on the topic of resilience. I hope you guys enjoy it. Check it all out at thehiddenwhy.com. Here he is, Warren Davies with resilience. Warren Davies, welcome to The Hidden Why.
How are you doing?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
That's the way. Welcome to the show, mate. Thank you for coming on.
No worries. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. Well, look, let's get started, mate. I wanted to talk on your topic today, which is resilience, a topic that you're very passionate about, I know, and that has been a part of your life, a big part of your life by the looks of it. So tell me, first of all, Warren, what is resilience? How do you define resilience?
That's an interesting question because I think it's a matter of perception. Resilience. When I speak to audiences, I always ask the question, who wants to stand up and tell me their idea of what resilience is? And, you know, I've had like one memorable one. It was one of the first talks I ever did, and I asked the question and there was no answer, and all of a sudden a 20-something-year-old young accountant fella in the back of the room stuck his hand up and said, I'll have a go. And I said, oh, beauty, you tell me what you think resilience is. And he said, well, listen, I went to the gym this morning and the lap pool was at 22 degrees, but I still jumped in and I still did my laps and I still did my workout. And that was his idea of resilience. And then I went on to tell him what mine was. And I suppose the meaning of resilience is being able to bounce back from difficulties or adversities or setbacks. And that's no different to the way I view resilience. But I look at resilience a little bit more like bungee jumping. Sometimes you've got to step off that ledge and then you bounce back. And I suppose that's my analogy. And one of the slides that I use in my speaking presentations is of that of someone jumping off bungee jumping. And that's probably the best way that I could describe what resilience is. It's, you know, that ability to be able to probably take on a challenge or get knocked down, but have the ability to bounce back up again.
Yeah, because I've heard that definition before, you know, about being able to sort of bounce back up like a sponge, you know, once you squeeze a sponge, being able to reform. I agree with you, like there is a sense of resilience that comes from actually being able to walk into a challenge or walk into the fire or the heat or the adversity, not just about when you fail or fall down, being able to get back up again, but also taking that initial action. So I like that. And why is this important to you? Why is this a topic that you're passionate about?
Well, I suppose there's three catch words, I suppose, that I use to describe myself, and that's resilience, persistence, and determination. And that all came from my basically lifelong career as a dairy farmer. and working on the land and in agriculture, and there were three key things that I needed to be able to get through my everyday. There was obviously knockbacks and you know, seasonal changes and economic changes, and that to be able to continue through that career as a farmer for the best part of my life, I needed those three things, and resilience was one of those things, was tested time and time again.
How was it tested? How was resilience tested in that scenario? I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I understand that it's not the easiest job or career or life choice in the world to be doing.
Yeah. So the farming resilience, like I talk about going into business. And I went into business and we created a family business. And I went into business naively as a 22-year-old thinking that I was going into business with mum and dad and with the bank manager, obviously, who'd lent me the money. But I had a silent business partner, and that silent business partner was Mother Nature. Right. And she dealt me some fairly hefty blows along the way, a flood and a drought. And the drought was what ended my farming career, basically. We had to walk off the farm. But so all
just,
those things.
Just to give people listening and context, so I've got a lot of people in the States, and a lot of people are probably familiar with drought, but how does that look for you? How did that look for you?
It looked like, but in financial terms, it looked like a $180,000 profit one year, and 18 months later, a $250,000 loss.
Right.
So in financial terms, but in emotional and other terms, it was very draining to not being able to do what you wanted to do. And also as a farmer, you're a steward to your animals and to your land, and to watch them not being able to do the job that you wanted to do because of the climatic situation was very it took a major toll on my mental health and on our finances, on our family relationships, and all those things together. So
and that the drought for you, I mean, how many years did that sort of go for until it sort of put you out of business?
Well, we lasted about 2.5 years, and then ended up drawing a line in the sand and decided that, you know, we can't do this anymore, and we want to go, if we're going to go out, we want to go out on our terms. And that's what we did. Drew a line in the sand and basically walked away. But when I talk about resilience, it's not just about the farming situation. It was probably my resilience started building from an early age, and I was born and bred in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And my mum and dad were small business owners, and we moved around a fair bit, and moving from school to school and creating friends and that. So at an early age, even though you didn't realise at the stage, but later on in life when you start drawing on some of these experiences, you realise that all these things are happening and they're building your resilience to be able to bounce back from different situations. So the farming situation as well stood me in good stead for things that have happened since then as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So something that perhaps a lot of us are unaware of is building that resilience muscle throughout our years. I certainly can relate to, you know, change and pushing myself into change and even going through change myself. For a lot of years, I didn't have any change in my life until I was sort of in my mid-teens, and my parents decided to pack up and move for certain reasons. And that was, you know, that was difficult on a teenager. But certainly, I wouldn't have reflected on it as being resilient at the time. And certainly, I think now when you go through change, a part of being able to go through it gracefully, I suppose, and bounce out of the other end with a bit more power, with a bit more learnings, with a bit more progress is part of that resilience process as well. And something that I find very rewarding now and I actually like to encourage and push myself into. Is that something you experience as well?
Yeah, like we'll take a perfect example of now being a professional speaker doing the circuit. Well, if I said to a group of school students last week when I was speaking to them, if I wrote a letter now as a 50-year-old man to my 15 or 20-year-old or 24-year-old self to say that I would have been standing in front of you today speaking and telling my story and talking about my life lessons and how you can adapt them to your life, would have this, you know, laughed at myself, you know. Yep. But that, I suppose that's a perfect example of knowing that you've got some skills that, you know it's going to be hard, but you can take it on, and you know that if you get knocked down, you will be able to bounce. You've got those skills behind you, and you've done it before. So resilience is a bit of it is genetic. You've got a bit of resilience built in you genetically, I believe, to a certain extent, but the rest of it is learnt along the way through the hard knocks. And unfortunately, you have to go through some, like you've just said, like about moving around. At the time, you don't believe that it is, or anything that happens in your life, it's happening for a reason. And as long as you are aware of the lessons that are happening around you, or you take note of them at least mentally in your head, later on, you'll realise that that's why that happened, and that's now standing me in good stead, so I can do this. And that's how, like with my speaking now, because like never in a million years, definitely as a 15-year-old, would I have ever have thought that I could stand up in front of my classroom peers, let alone standing in front of, you know, a couple hundred people and start speaking about my story, which can be fairly confronting and at some parts, but be able to stand up there and talk and know that, yep, I can go through this, and you know, and even if I have bad feedback from the audience or whatever, that I know that I can bounce back, and I've got skills to be able to then continue to move forward.
Yeah, it's pretty huge, and congratulations to that too. It sounds like, you know, it would have been something very difficult for you at a 15-year-old state to be able to public speak effectively. And I can certainly relate to that as well. It's still something that scares the bugger out of me, but I love doing it. And, you know, when you've got something to share, like yourself, an important message that can help others, I think that's where the power comes through. You're sort of looking beyond yourself to helping others.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what I see. But you've got that ability to know that if it doesn't quite come off, that you can bounce back and you can do it the next day. And you know, if you've got that skill that's been learnt, and the farming, like resilience, wasn't like the only skill that farming taught me that I can now adapt into my other life. Like resilience, persistence, and determination—they're the three key things. But adaptability and initiative and resourcefulness—all the things that all tie together, I think that help build that resilience muscle that help you then be able to move forward in life, even when change, especially adaptability, change is basically inevitable in life these days. Things move at a fast pace and things change all the time, and you know, they're the skills that really that I can draw on every day to be able to move forward.
Absolutely. So who does this really relate to and affect, this piece on resilience? Is it for everyone to learn something from and use? You talked about actually it being, you know, partly genetics perhaps, and I'd like to just to delve into that for a second. Do you think that's a part of everyone's DNA, like a human biological structure, is ability to be resilient so we can, you know, keep up with life's purpose to survive? Or do you think it's within some and not in others?
Well, I think it is in everyone, and I suppose it's what you're exposed to. And if I go back to that 22-year-old accountant, if that's his perception of resilience, good on him and good luck to him, because if that's the only challenge that he's had, that's what he had to draw resilience on, well, he's lived a fortunate life, I believe. So I think it's to quantify why I say that, but I just believe that, I suppose it's probably all learnt, but it is genetic at the same time, because it's something that you do get from your parents. And I watched my parents go through some things like with business and that, you know, that then I suppose then I could draw on those situations later on. But I suppose that was learnt. But I know I know my kids have got this inert kind of nature that they've got resilience just built into them somehow, and I don't know if it was exposure or it's just something that they've taken with them as well. Like I know that they get that from my wife's side, my wife as well, that they've got that resilience built into them somehow, and that's just I suppose it's a family thing that I noticed that it can't be That's it. I believe some people have got it more than others. And when I talk about why I use bungee jumping as an analogy is I say that I'm resilient, but I wasn't always. And I got to a stage where using the analogy of bungee jumping, my bungee cord basically broke. Yeah. And then I had to sit on the floor and work out a way of retying that bungee so I could then bounce back up again. And that was a long process.
You've just given a really good bit of clarity because we were talking about that resilience piece and how it relates to, you know, being able to bounce back, and also as it relates to taking action to being able to jump off the bungee jump platform. And I'll just flesh this out and perhaps you can leave me your thoughts as well. But it sounds like resilience is a muscle that we can build through experience or exposure to experience of others. So in your case, when you actually have had those knockdowns in life and being challenged and experience changed and being able to bounce back from them, that's built up your resilience muscle that allows you then, with the strength of your resilience muscle, to take further action going forward. And if your children are watching you bounce back continually, pick yourself up again when you fall over, then they're going to learn from that experience too, and that's going to give them more resilience to encourage them to take greater action and more risk perhaps in life as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. I think you've hit it spot on there. That's exactly probably what I was trying to say. But like, because I look at my kids and I'm in awe of some of the stuff that my kids, I've got five kids, and my eldest and my second eldest and my eldest daughter, that stuff they're doing as adults, was like they're between 24 and 20, what they're doing is just amazes me, and how they can just approach life knowing that they'll bounce back, and they can take on challenges knowing that, you know, there could be a knockback around the corner, but they still go and do it anyway. And I'm in awe of the way they do that. And that's, I think, a learnt thing as well, as hopefully there was a little bit of play from my wife and I that built that that resilience into them that they're able to move forward in the world. Yeah.
It'd have to be. There's probably a lot of, you know, differences in the modern way as well, and you know, a lot of differences in the way that we're brought up as well, like with support and the environment that we're given as younger people nowadays. You know, there's a lot more ability to, I sort of felt that when I was growing up that I had just the greatest environment and support from my family and parents, that I could afford to go out there and take risk. And if I fell over, I knew that no matter what happened, I'd have somewhere to call home and someone to, you know, lean on in those times. And I think for older generations, perhaps that wasn't as apparent.
Yeah, well, I think the way, you know, the way the world's evolved and family units are evolved, it's different to say like in my grandparents' day, but still knowing that there was, I think, a strong family unit's a strong family unit regardless of generation. And I think there was always that, if you look at people that were majorly successful, there was always that, there was something there that I suppose they had that resilience, either that they knew that they could bounce back on their own, or they had that support, either one or the other, you know, or both together as a combination, that they went out and just took the risk knowing that if all fails, I'm going to bounce back at some stage, or I've got that support that I can just go back to and then relaunch again.
I think it's important. And yeah, well, look, I think we've determined sort of what resilience is as far as, you know, the ability to bounce back, spring back from challenge and adversity. And it seems like most things, it comes through experience or observation of experience. What other elements define or characterize resilience?
That's a really good question.
You talked about like adaptability.
Yeah, like, so I believe like the farming lessons that were taught to me, adaptability, initiative and resourcefulness there. As part of your resilience, like, you've got to be resourceful. So if you do get the knockbacks, you've got to know where you can go and either seek help or find the answers to be able to solve your, you know, find a solution to why you've been knocked down, and so you can bounce back. Sometimes you have to search then for that. So being resourceful is really important, and showing and being having initiative as well. to be able to do that as well. So you've got to have the initiative to then be to go and search for those answers, or to be able to analyze what's going wrong, or why you're having to bounce back, or there's obviously a wide range of reasons why people draw on their resilience, whether it's, you know, business, family, health, whatever it is. You've still got to be able to have the initiative to be able, otherwise you'll just sit like, if I, using the analogy of the bungee cord, if I had have had no initiative or resourcefulness, I would have sat on that floor and not been able to tie that, but in a metaphoric kind of way, not being able to tie that bungee cord back up and be able to bounce back up again and recreate and redefine yourself. Because I suppose going back to the farming story, farming's a hard thing to describe to someone that's not been a farmer.
Yeah.
And I explained to these kids the other day, it's like a disease. It gets into your bones and you can't get it out. And when something like losing your farm or your business, and it'd be no different to any other business that you've put your heart and soul into, you lose your identity. Mm. And so you then have to become resourceful and have some initiative to be able to recreate that identity, because when I walked off my farm, I thought the world was over because I was Warren the farmer and that was it. But I then, and it wasn't an easy process, I then had to search to find out, well, who really am I and how can then I serve the world from here on? Yeah. Like as a dairy farmer, I was serving the world. I was producing milk that's feeding people.
Yeah.
So I had a real purpose and that was a real identity. But when you walk away from that, you lose your identity and then you have to search for who it is again. And, you know, having the resourcefulness to work out and the initiative to work out what is it that I am and how can I then go and serve the world.
Okay.
That's
a really important point. And I think it's probably the peak of this conversation. But firstly, I just want to talk back to resilience there. And when you do fall down, when you have those moments of challenge, it's really great to be able to draw on, I guess, what I refer to as the hidden why guy, as the why, you know, draw on your why. What is it really about to you? And use the power of that ultimate sort of purpose that drives you to motivate you to tie that knot in the bungee rope again so you can get back up and try again. So I think that's one little takeout I got from that. And then the other one, which is huge, it's the story. You know, you're losing that story. It's so true. Like we attach ourselves to this identity, to this story that we've created for ourselves that perhaps has been a big part of our life. And when that's suddenly gone, we feel a loss because there's a lot of uncertainty there about who am I, you know, where am I going to go and what else is there for me? And I guess that's where a lot of hardship comes in, from people losing business and you know, whatever it might be. You know, losing that story is got to be really, really hard, and to be able to bounce back up from that, that's a huge feat. What are the methods or skills? You obviously talk about this with other people, but how do you guide them, and what advice do you give them to be able to do that, to really step back up, other than what we've just explained?
Well, there's three real points through my story that are key, I suppose, to be able. Obviously, you've got your resilience that's built into you from what you've learnt that's around you, but there's three things that I probably failed at the time that I did, you know, all this stuff was happening, and now in hindsight I look back and think, well, that's why my bungee cord broke. And the three things were communication. So one, the key point is communication, because if you stop communicating with people, then you can't, I believe that you just can't function, you can't move forward, because you're either not communicating what your problem is, or you're not listening to, because listening is part of communication, not listening to the stuff that's coming in to be able to help you to move forward.
Yep.
The other point is about staying connected. Well, there's probably four points, but staying connected to your community as well. Something that I also failed at doing is I just withdrew from everything. So all these things that I stopped doing that were really important, then to piece the puzzle back together, get that bungee rope tied back together, these are the three things that I stopped doing that then I had to restart doing to be able to move forward. And I think that they're real critical parts in my personal, and as I said at the start, resilience is a perception thing as well. everyone's perception of resilience is different, and people listening to this would say, well, yeah, that's not my perception of what resilience is, but I suppose it depends what situation that your resilience has been created from. So that second point was staying connected to everyone that's around you, to your community, to your family, everyone, that support network that you talked about, having that support network to know that, and I'm connected to everyone, because it's very lonely if you're not. And it's hard to be able to bounce back if you're in a lonely place. The other thing that really helps me now, and I probably didn't realize it then at that stage, but I realize it now, that it really helps me do what I do now, is being empathetic to people's situations and being able to put yourself in their shoes, or relate to somehow, even if it's something that you've never been through, relate to their story, and be able to then share your story that hopefully will help them rebuild their story.
Yeah.
So that's another point. And then the last point is about seeking help and guidance. You've got to know when you've got to seek help. When my bungee cord broke, I was kind of in a space where I didn't know where to turn, didn't know where to go, didn't know where to seek the help. So, and all the guidance, and I suppose that's the real underlying thing, is you've got to know when it's time to call on people and seek some help, and I suppose it comes back to that communication thing about communicating that, but then being able to listen and take on board some advice that might help you get from where you are on the ground trying to tie that bungee, to be able to be still, to be bouncing back up again, back up to the platform, so you can relaunch and keep going again.
Right. So keeping that communication, the connectivity open to your community, the empathy there, so you can share with others, but then I guess all those things will help you, if I can make sense of it, all those things will help you understand when and perhaps where you should be asking for help.
Yeah, that's correct, and that's all about that, and that's part of building, because part of the resilience thing was too, is being able to bounce back and be able to ask for that help and listen to some guidance to be able to bounce back, because if you don't, you're on your own, and then it's you can have a long process of being able to tying that cord back together before you can bounce, where if you can take on board some stuff that are from around you, it helps you bounce back a lot quicker.
Yeah, beautiful.
So
stuff.
Sorry,
you go.
No, you're right. Sorry, I jumped in before you. You're right. Keep going.
I was just going to reflect on uncertainty with resilience, and certainly for me, I'm not perfect with resilience. I still struggle, and uncertainty seems to be the big player when I do struggle. But like you're talking about there with, communication, connectivity, empathy, help, that revolves around relationships for me, and this forms a bigger picture for me of fundamental human needs, and having these elements that are so important to our human fundamental nature of growth, relationships, health, contribution, significance, expression. There's the six that I talk about. If you can really have them stable in your life, no matter what change, adversity you go through, if all those things are taken care of, you'll be able to push through that next challenge, that next that next bit of change that might come your way. And certainly, that's probably the reflection that I'd like to conclude this conversation with today. Do you have any final thoughts, Warren?
No, exactly what you said then is that's why I mentioned those points, because if a few of those points go missing in that rebuilding phase or that bouncing back phase, that's going to stretch out the process. So if you've still got, so a strong value of mine is family, and if I went deeper into my story, that family business ended up breaking down, which started, the resilience was starting to wane a little bit, because family is a number one value to me. So it was really, so as you were saying, if a few of these pieces start missing, that are vital for human needs, like that connection and communication and family and empathy and all that sort of stuff, if you're missing a few of those keys, just makes that process so much harder. So, I think you're pretty right in that, summing that up if you haven't got those basic needs that sometimes you don't realise that you need them, But if you're able, I think that's the ability that I've gained, which is part of the resilience that I've got now. I've got the ability to step back out and have a look and see, why did that happen, or what did I learn from that, to be able to use that to build more resilience to move forward. And that's one of those things that is a learned thing, I suppose. And if you go through enough change or upheaval or whatever it is in your life, you do pick up and learn those things along the way that it's able to then to propel you forward in later times.
Absolutely, mate. It's it's a really important message and it's important for everyone. And I think, you know, if we can share some information here today, or if we have that people can use to say, hey, when I go through these pieces of adversity, this is what can help me, you know, go through it a little bit more gracefully or with a bit more ease, or actually being able to tie that bungee rope back together so they can get up again. I think it's really important. So appreciate you and sharing your information. For you guys listening out there, thank you for tuning in. You can jump onto thehiddenwhy.com, the power segment. This is Warren Davies, and you can check out the show notes there, leave your comments, and I'll stick all the links to Warren in the show notes as well. So if you want to connect with him, reach out. Perhaps you've got some questions of your own to ask him directly, feel free to do so. Warren, what's next for you? What's the dream?
Just to continue this journey that I'm on as a speaker and sharing my message, either on resilience or big mental health advocate, and talk a lot about leadership as well, whether it's self-leadership or leadership of others. So this journey that I'm on at the moment, and it's slowly but surely gaining momentum, and so that's where I'm at the moment. But probably just to be happy moving forward and happy with what I'm doing and knowing that I've got the skills to be able to do it. So
You've got a new story there that you're creating for yourself, and that's good to see. We're part of the same speaker circle, so I get to see your updates and bits and pieces of what's going on. So yeah, well done again to all the work you're doing and the progress you're making. It's huge and very inspirational.
Thanks very much. And then thanks for having me on today. It's been a privilege.
Brilliant. Guys, check it all out at thehiddenwhy.com. Until next time, peace, passion and purpose. See you soon. Thank you for tuning in and listening to today's conversation. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to take something away, something to help you create a more meaningful life, a life with greater freedom, fulfillment and happiness. Guys, if you love the content that I produce here at The Hidden Why, there are a few ways you can support me. Firstly, connect with me. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can connect with me online at thehiddenwhy.com or via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to connect with you. If you've got any thoughts, comments, feedback, suggestions, or anything at all that you'd like to ask me, you can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. While you're there, guys, make sure you subscribe to thehiddenwhy.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can be kept up to date with all the new episodes and happenings here at The Hidden Why. If you love what you heard in this episode, guys, or any of the others, please share the love. Share it with your family, friends, and anyone you think that might get some value. If you haven't already done so, you can also leave me a review on iTunes. Simply head over to iTunes, type in The Hidden Why, click the ratings and reviews button, and leave me a short message, plus a 1 to 5 star rating. It helps me reach more people. Once again, guys, I appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to support my show. Until next time, you know what to do. Breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why Podcast. My name is Liam Undlety. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.